Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Basel D Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creators who were in and around the clock for the Popover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Popover, Popover. Welcome to the Lure It Up Podcast, powered by Basel D Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions. On episode 8, we talk to mixologist David Barker, Chef Trevon Stout, Chef Anne-Marie Leach, Chef Danielle Gibson, Chef Marvin Applewaite, and Chef Nicholas Eiffel, all from the Barbados Food and Rum Festival 2022. We hope you enjoy. Basel D.
Okay, so we have our culinary professional. Listen, he bring the vibes already, and we have a start yet. And I love the energy that you're bringing. Guess who we have here? David, give me your last name.
My name is David Barker.
David Barker. David Barker, I could feel the drinks that you've been drinking before you even giving me a drink. I love it. Welcome to Basel D Podcast. How are you doing?
I am good, you know. I'm taking things as the day comes.
Good. So you told me you're a jack of all trades, all within the culinary arts, which is be food, drinks. Which one do you like the most?
I mean, I don't have, it's like asking if you have a favorite child, you know?
I would not know, but yeah.
Yeah, but I love the art of culinary, as in being in the kitchen, creating food, but they're nothing like the bar. They're not like the vibe at the bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a kitchen perspective, being in a kitchen environment in the past, I mean, you're constricted to the people that you know. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, you get to go outside and talk to people, or you're working in a show kitchen. That's a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. But I think what I like is a bit of both. Mm. I like the interaction with people, mm-hmm, so that I can feel what you really need. Because at the end of the day, we've met drinks or we've cooked food. But we cook food that makes us feel good. I don't believe in that. I believe that I should cook food for the people. I should make drinks for people. Mm. I don't make drinks for myself.
Okay, because that's very similar to what Shane said, the mixologist before Shane McLean. And he said he loves to motivate people. And the best way to do that is to talk over a drink. Give somebody a drink, talk to the person, give inspirational advice based on his past experiences. Can you relate to that?
I think that when we think about the food and beverage industry, in terms of like the bar itself, mm-hmm, a bartender ain't just a bartender, you know.
He's a therapist.
He's a like marriage counselor.
Yeah,
he's like
a
doctor. Yeah. Like, there's so much different information. He's a sports commentator. I mean, there's so much different things that you are doing, mm-hmm, when you're actually physically interacting with people. So I would always say is that majority of jobs are either physical jobs, mm-hmm, or use your brain.
Mental
jobs.
Yes.
And to be honest, you working in the bar or in the kitchen is both. Mm-hmm. It's definitely both. Mm-hmm. So in terms of inspiring, I mean, when it comes to inspiration, it comes naturally. So if anyone is inspired by me or the things that I do, mm-hmm, I'm humbly grateful for it. Mm-hmm. My job is to just whoever is around me in my circle or around me working with me or in my presence, mm-hmm, I just want to get those vibes though, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You never know. Like, people has come around you with a grumpy attitude. Majority of times, like, you know, grumpiness is then negative, and negative always like that company to get together, right? Yeah. And mingle. But is it my like to stand back and say, wait, so you getting also what happened to you? Very like antisocial.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know.
And and it helps me to you know put a different mood on somebody and make somebody stay better.
I love that.
That is it, right? Because you changing that person today, you don't know what butterfly effect happens, in the
domino effect.
Yeah.
I love that. David, you seem to have a fantastic personality. Where does that stem from? Tell me, how did you get from being a jack of all trades in the food industry? So tell me a little bit from the beginning and bring me back to the present day.
Well, If I had to start, I always start as a child. You know, being on my mother, holding she ended the skirt and watching she cook over the stove. And my mother at that time, she used to have canteens. She had the Garrison School canteen.
Okay, canteen food was the best food, boy.
Right. So she used to work in canteen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I used to be there when she used to be cooking. When I finished school or something, and she's still at work, I might go to her workplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, running about the people's secondary school, mm-hmm. getting beer trouble. But what it did for me was when she, even like, I used to eat a lot of raw food too, right? Mm-hmm. So when she peeling carrots, eating carrots raw, the beans raw, oh, everything. God, but I was a real bunny when I was a child.
Okay.
To get me to get these things now might be a little difficult. But being in that environment and my mother saying, well, listen, fella, no woman can't make your shame. Mm. I can show you how to wash, cook, clean, press, starch, and iron.
Oh, I love that.
You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, that's just generation.
That was the idea. So the same way I learned how to cook, I learned how to wash, cook, clean, starch, and iron.
Got it.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's more about being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. That made me on this journey. But seeing my mother doing that going forward, I was in secondary school in primary school. Primary school was primary school.
You already know.
I mean, there was a primary school a little rough.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But in the same perspective, I made it on to go to Corgian Pari. Mm-hmm. When I was there, I think from the age of 12, 13, I knew I wanted to be a chef.
My cousin, he was a chef. He went to CP2.
Yeah.
Kevin
Michael, for sure. For sure, I know him.
Yeah.
And I think it was in third form, they had abolished home economics. So you couldn't do home economics okay. for CSU. You had to do home economics management. So it's like, well, this is the only thing that I can do to be a chef, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I cry in the hall. I tell Miss Phillips, Miss Phillips at that time, become Miss Phillips, that, listen, I don't want to do the metal work, nor the technical drawing. I want to be a chef.
And I
only be the only boy in this class at CPD. Man, you surpassed it. So look at you, all the girls. But anyway, I didn't really matter because.
Yeah, you were bright girls.
I didn't be all the girls.
All the girls.
Anyway.
Okay.
I didn't mind them. Yeah. So I ended up excelling in that class because I always used to be cooking at home. So by the time CSC come, I already did doing things like that the secondary school, tertiary education people were doing.
You already got that covered.
I already had it down pat. Mm-hmm. So in leaving CP, that particular subject, I actually got a distinction in.
What?
Yeah, so it was like...
So that propelled you to where you were now?
Yeah, it did.
You went to Pomerain?
I went to Pomerain
okay,
right after.
And then straight after that, you went to the hotel industry.
Well, it didn't even work out like that. So it was at Hospitality Institute. Mm-hmm. And... governments have changed, things have changed. My mom didn't even have a job.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't working for what she was working for. So okay. It was like, all right, I going to this school, this is what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, all right, I need to make some more income and do something for myself. I remember being hired at Kokomo's at that time, which is Zacchaeus.
Okay, Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm.
And then I was caught in on the beach and
so you're on the West
thing.
Coast.
So it was on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Well, I was an assistant. So I had to learn how to peel chicken,
tame
shrimp, mm-hmm. cut up vegetables. Uh-huh. But that was giving me the fundamentals to go into school also.
Right.
So it learned me how to balance in between getting education and actual physical working.
Fantastic.
Being at the hospitality then, mm-hmm. I was then we had the Disney program. Mm-hmm. So it was a few people. Yeah. So it had a few people who are chosen for that particular program.
Yes, I know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. And I met one day and I said, listen, I'm going Disney. I ain't care what happened. I eventually was chosen to work for Disney.
Good.
So we were supposed to go down there, work at a Barbadian Pavilion, making making cuisine from our home country.
Yeah.
It obviously don't turn out to be whatever they say.
You
got to do what they tell you to do. So I first started at Disney's Caribbean Beach in this place called the Bridgetown Broiler. I get blisters making omelets, man.
What?
I used to make like hundreds and hundreds of omelets like every morning.
Whoa.
I eventually moved through the different lines of the establishment to end up on the hotline.
Because
that's where he wanted to be. I wanted to be like a professional.
Right.
I mean, many days I cripe on the hotline too.
Yeah.
But it showed me
resilience.
Mm. Excuse me. So after being at that particular thing, I was always a person to excel, to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the good thing about it, Disney has this thing called like a Disney University.
Yeah.
Where you get to learn how all the different trades and stuff like that. So I did all the different courses that Disney had to offer because I'm always to get a wealth of knowledge all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up supposed to stay like a year. I ended up getting my stuff extended because I was doing so well. Mm-hmm. Ended up at Disney's Polynesian and Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa.
Wow.
I also, before Food and Rum, there was Food and Wine Festival,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know.
I worked Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
Epcot
for 2 years in a row.
I don't know how I want it. Epcot.
Yeah, I did Epcot Food and Wine Festival. I actually got to post that home and stuff.
That's amazing experiences. Yeah.
So I worked in like 6 pavilions from around the world at Epcot. And that was an exciting experience, talking to different people around the world, learning different cultures.
Languages.
Foods. I mean, food, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience is what helped me to have this vibe.
Because if it
could talk to you, or you could talk to anyone in the world, you know?
Yeah. So you talk about food, but right now you're here as a mixologist.
Yes.
So you're fantastic at food, but what took you over to drinks and food and you know, just mixing different stuff?
All right. So I had come back. I left.
You got lost there.
Yeah, I got one in stories.
Couldn't share with me.
I went overseas. Where we went and come back. It's when I came back from the same Disney because I left Disney, worked at the Radisson as sous chef.
Okay.
And then came back home.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back home, I was looking for a job, obviously. Mm-hmm. So thinking I can get a sous chef or something. So nobody a demi chef. I gone looking for jobs and nobody ain't got nothing available for me. And obviously, because I'm working, I'm looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Almond Beach and they said, well, the only job we have in the kitchen for you with these qualifications is a commie cook, which is the same thing I started out as, peeling potatoes, peeling this. And I was like, nah, I just do all these things. I came back here to
peel somebody chicken?
Well, you got to make it for it. I said, what else you have to offer? They said, I have the job as assistant bartender.
Okay.
I said, I will take it. Because I did like...
Without fear, without, you know, not
just
knowing.
Jumping in. What happened is during the course that I did at Hostality, we did do a bartending course. I really did like it because I used to get a little sweet in the course.
Yeah.
It's good. So I guess that's what propelled me to really start mixing drinks. So I used to mix these drinks with these in Almond Beach when it was real Almond Beach. We had like 1,500 people, 2,000 people.
Almond was sweet. Almond in St. Peter?
Yeah, Almond St. Peter.
Okay.
So I started working one of these small bars. Then we moved to Horizon. But what I remember is people like Tommy from Tommy's Bar and Doreen and then girls from down by the pool. I see women push off 1,500 people on the beach. And I was like, and I washing glasses, funny, you know, I back there washing glasses. Mm-hmm. No, come from doing whatever I doing, but I watching these ladies and I watching how they're moving. And I can be honest, you work at Almond Beach, you can work any place, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
These pace, the fast, you had to know what you're doing to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new challenge, but in the same perspective, it got me interested.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually started trying both bottles because I was really into flair bartending.
Oh, wow. So give me that vibe, though. Give me a performance vibe.
Yeah,
you
definitely
give me
a performance.
Whole show.
We actually used to do a show. I used to do a show at Ama Beach before they brought in these guys from Canada from Extreme Bartending.
Right.
To train us. So I was trained from this guy named Scott Young from the Extreme Bartending.
Okay.
I won a bunch of
draw the accolades lyrical. Quick. Tell me.
A few TGI flair competitions, Sky and Campari flair competitions. I placed in Jamaica and stuff like that for flair competitions. I've traveled to a few places for...
So all this information I'm getting at Food and Rum Festival, what am I going to get from David? Tell me one thing, one drink that... Because... First of all, nobody wants to give me their secret sauce. So are you going to tell me your secret flavor that you're going to give me?
I can give you... I don't really got nothing to hide, right? Is at the end of the day, you get what you get when you see me.
Yeah.
One of the drinks that I am actually really excited to do because it is different is Moontown. That's my second drink. Moontown in St. Peter, but I went to school at CP, so I got to represent the North, right, at some point in time. So this drink contains a product that nobody has ever made.
Okay.
It's specifically formulated for me. Nobody make it. It don't sell anywhere else in the world. It's now being formulated for this competition.
Wow.
So I had it's on yeast that came in to actually produce this product, which I'm making an Aki kombucha. You've had kombucha before, but you never had Aki kombucha.
And going with the theme of the Food and Rum is from Africa to Barbados.
Yeah.
So the Aki is perfect.
There you go. And that's the thought process. But I'm taking that Aki kombucha, which has been specially formulated now. So it has a little tanginess, a bit of bubbles inside. And I'm infusing vanilla into Mount Gay Silver.
Ooh.
I'm infusing it with nitrous oxide. But people don't even realize how deep it is. Things are just
so
like an infusion.
Now.
Yeah, it's just that we make in drinks. Yeah, we put in things together. We formulate. It's coming in mad scientists anywhere.
I love it.
But I am infusing that with nitrogen oxide, and then we are going to, flavor it a little bit. Then what I'm going to finish it off with is a little bit of different. So you ever had an Aki and you put a little salt on it?
No.
Never had a salt on an Aki?
I don't want a salt on an Aki.
Listen. Here we show you. You know, Aki's Aki has a little bit of tanginess to it, right? So some people, when eat sea grapes, when eat donks, it's got mango chow, they got pineapple chow.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, there's an Aki chow, but the Aki chow is being broken down into a formulation.
Okay.
So you got the Aki, Aki kombucha, you got the Mount Gay Silver, you got the spices that is in this drink.
Right.
But the salt, I'm jerking the salt in. What we're making now is a chickpea, dehydrated, rear pepper, salted form.
What? Woo.
So,
that's a lot, boy.
I mean, you got to feel it to see it, right?
I could taste it in my mouth without even...
Yeah, so chickpea, you don't think about chickpea. Think about, because chickpea is my vegan form.
Okay.
You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah,
so you won't get the taste of chickpea, but you see this
the
feel of chickpea, but a dehydrated, with the dehydrated pepper.
I think I had a chickpea form when I went to Peg Farm with the pancakes on top.
There we go.
I know what you're talking about.
Got you.
So I got the idea.
I got you.
So it got a little flavory taste, but you don't know it's chickpea.
No, but then you cover it with some roasted dehydrated peppers and just a sprinkle of salt, right? So you just like a...
Woo! Listen, this is so good. Which event will you be at?
I'll be at the last event, Liquid
Gold. So Liquid Gold.
Yeah, Liquid Gold,
which is at Laracourt.
Yes.
And what are your Instagram handles? If you're on Instagram, Facebook, how can we get you to outside of...
You can get me at Barkers_best on Instagram. I'm David Bark on Facebook. I mean, dude, just... Google me. You'll find me. There's not being even arrogant about it. It's David Barker, mixologist. David Barker, bartender. You'll find me. I mean, I'm much more than just the bartender, but you'll find me if you need to find me.
What you want people to leave with when they see you on Sunday? Give me one word.
My mantra is changing the world one drink at a time.
Ooh.
So
yes.
All I want to do, best doesn't stand for I am the best, is Barbados Elite Star Tenders. And
yes.
All I want to do is bring Barbados Elite Star Tenders.
I love it.
Not bartenders, star tenders.
Star tender, I get it.
And so all I'm trying to do is sprinkle some stardust on people.
Yes. I love this. This was so good. Thank you so much, David.
You are welcome.
Wishing you blessings. Love the energy. I know you're going to be a superstar. You are a superstar, right?
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the Lore Up Podcast, powered by Basil D Magazine.
So this evening we're here with Chef Trevon Stout from Barbados Food and Rum Festival.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing, man?
I good, man. So we just want to get some background of you as a chef and get an idea of what you'll be doing at this year's festival.
Yeah, most definitely. That's not a problem. So I started cooking from around the age of six.
Mm-hmm.
Just generally, you know, playing around at home, watching my grandma, my mom do their stuff in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I definitely used to watch and admire. And then I like to play with stuff as well. I like to mm-hmm. see how stuff comes out. I like to play with the concept of doing stuff and seeing the end result and then seeing how people respond to it, most importantly. So I guess that's where my first footing was. I always had a passion for how things work in general, so that would have then stemmed into like engineering and mechanical engineering and that type of stuff. Cars and, you know, down that line. But things worked out in life in general, even at school. We had an issue with the SBA. It was actually my last exam with the CXC,
mm-hmm.
the easiest exam, multiple choice exam in technical drawing. One of the key mm-hmm. things that I would have needed for my mechanical engineering, I went on the wrong day for that exam. Yeah, wow. So that was a bummer. That was a big bummer for me. But I guess everything happened for
everything
a reason.
Everything works out for a reason.
Correct. So at that point, then I moved into the culinary arts, food and nutrition,
mm-hmm.
Which I was always good at. The teacher actually told my mom from a young age that I would have been a chef from about third or fourth form.
Wow.
Because she could have seen it whenever I had to do a practical or anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to excel at the food and nutrition. Did my first job attachment at about 15 at Amma Beach in Spikestown.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, the sky was the limit. I went back to school, finished fifth, moved on to Palmarine. At that point, the hotel school. Did my associate's degree, and from there was job attachment. It was my, what do you call it, the it was the job attachment mm-hmm. at Sandy Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Started at Sandy Lane Hotel. And then from there I went back, did some stints at Lime Grove, came back to Sandy Lane because they would have requested me to come back. And did about 3 years at Sandy Lane, and then you find any restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my real passion for like competition cooking and like really real in-depth cooking came about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, breaking apart components, putting together components, high-end cuisine, super high-end, using super high quality or products of high quality
mm-hmm.
in dishes. Along the quality of products to speak for themselves, and then flavor matching, flavor bouncing, and that type of stuff. In terms of breaking things right apart. And that was the beginning.
Right, that was the start for you. Okay, yeah. That's a very interesting start, especially hearing from mechanical engineering now into becoming a chef. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So what can people expect from you at this year's festival?
People can expect a showcase.
Yeah.
generally, I'll be doing two dishes. One of them is a sea cat. So that's a marinated sea cat. That is poached sea cat. You poach it lightly. From there, it's charred and put into sweet sesame pesto.
Mm-hmm.
Then that is topped with that goes on top of ginger, sweet potato puree, pickle, fennel slaw. Finished with marinated rainbow radishes.
Wow.
So lots of local stuff. The rainbow radishes are locally grown as well, but they are super pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I like to describe those things as sexy.
Yeah.
Lots of flavor, a lot of homegrown stuff, and, you know, more or less showcasing some of the local farmers that have international product, which is grown here in home soil. that you would not find anywhere else.
Right. Sounding a bit like slow seven movement.
Yeah. Farm to table, right, farm more or less is stuff. You know what we try to practice. Currently at Lacaban South, where that is the concept of everything that we do, generally. So, you know, try to bring a little bit of that to the food festival, show people that we can be sustainable with what we eat. And, I just generally, it still doesn't have to be boring because it's local.
Right.
Bajans know how to cook.
They know how to cut.
And flavor is at the forefront of whatever we do.
Because there are a lot of talented chefs on the team this year.
A lot. Barbados houses a lot of talented chefs. Guys that know how to put it down and put it together. And guys that can get it done.
Yeah, that's really and truly it. Because you see that across the board, like award-winning, consistent chefs that just deliver quality product.
Absolutely correct. My second dish is then, we call it smoked folk art. Typical Bajan.
Yeah.
And that's being cooked over, being done over some wood fire, Casarina, St. Casarina wood. Marinated first, smoked for about three to 4 hours. Really get that intense flavor in it. That's going over squash and cabbage sabzi, which is quite Indian. But you know, Bajan and Barbados, we do grow our own cabbage. Cabbage is plentiful and extremely cheap as well.
True.
Pumpkin is very plentiful in Barbados as well.
Cheap as well, yeah.
Exactly. Super cheap. But the flavor and intensity that comes from that dish is bar none. Using local mushrooms on that.
Local mushrooms as well.
Comfy local mushrooms. We brought an element of pastry in it, which is a praline. A roasted pecan and salted roasted pecan and thyme praline, and that's finished with a garlic cream, roasted garlic and tarragon cream.
That sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, man.
So what would you say is your favorite Barbadian cuisine?
Dish?
Yeah.
I am a cuckoo freak.
Yeah.
But just generally, as a young boy, I think I had a little too much, so I then grew and developed an allergy then for caramel.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Man.
Wow. Yeah.
I wanted to just crawl out. Yeah.
I was about to say that's crazy. I've never heard of that before. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. And from there, I just any type of cuckoo that I could get my hand on, I decided to do so. Breadfruit cuckoo, sweet potato cuckoo.
Wow.
But the okras is my thing. I love okras, right? So okras are lots of aromatics, butter and that type of stuff. I found, you know, that I started to gravitate towards that, you know. Any I like warm pots a lot. So like pillow, like fresh pillow and no finish, you catch me over the pot for sure. That's my job.
That's the way it is for you.
Yeah, I like a nice bowl of food.
Yeah. Yeah, you man. Yeah. So what are you looking forward to in your journey as a chef?
I'm looking to recreate the expectation of a chef, what people define a chef to be. I think a chef could be a lot more than a person that stands up over a pot.
Right.
A lot more than, you know, people in what someone sees in these heavy, draped, white, drab, checkered pants in the kitchen. Just mulling around. And, feeding people. I think a chef could be very explosive, very impactful. He does not have to play behind the scenes all the time. Most definitely, he can be up front and center and people can see who's the person cooking their food and be able to really, you know, speak and communicate with the chef.
Yeah.
You know, the chef being able to tell you what you're having, even past the cooking, you know, impact people's lives in different ways.
I like that. That's a very, very good answer.
Yeah.
And so finally, we know we can find you at Lacaban South, but how can people find you online too as well?
Online, we are about to, so for the Food and Rum Festival, let me give you some insight. The chefs are actually in the apparel of the company, the company that's Quintessential, Quintessential by T-Stout. This is the first collection, which is the classic collection. And I've had the honor to have the backing recently of the NCF through some grant funding as well.
Right.
I mean, apart from the funding from, you know, what we would have been doing over the years and save some cash and put some cash into something that can make a difference, truly make a difference in terms of the aesthetic of the chefs, make them, you know, appear a lot sexier than them. Than they would.
The standard stuff, you know, give them
exactly. Give them something that's
Asian drip,
that's,
you know? Yeah,
correct. Super, super appealing.
Mm-hmm.
So just generally that is one thing you can find us. They are the online store, tstout.com. And from there you just hit shop now, which will take you to shoptstout.com.
Mm-hmm.
There you can find all the apparel. There's another collection dropping soon as well. So now you got the classic. After that would be the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little more relaxed. Relaxed fit. You know, something shirty. Bartender shirts, server shirts, and chef shirts,
mm-hmm.
but still super classy, super clean. So you find us there. You can find us online at ByTStout on Instagram. My personal is at Sir Gastronomist. For us as well, it's one big family. So, you know, we do a lot of stuff. Even at the Turf Club. We do a lounge there. For horse racing, for all your horse racing news, you can follow up at Sport of Kings BDS.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can draw because we do the sponsors lounge there.
Mm-hmm.
So you come, you get good food, good drinks, amazing atmosphere. And in the sponsor lounge, you got 180-degree view,
mm-hmm.
AC, fully temperature controlled, law lounge furniture, and you know, we'll be turning that back up very, very shortly.
That you got a lot on your plate, really and truly.
There's a lot going on.
I like the angle that you're doing. You know, you're dressing the chefs for the festival. Yeah. That's something very unique. It's good to see. You know, hand in hand, Barbadian Festival, Barbadian chefs, Barbadian dress.
Correct, correct.
So, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Correct, correct, correct.
So that's fantastic. So, thanks so much for joining us, Chef Stout.
No problem at all, man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. We want you back then to see how it was, you know.
Correct.
Post festival, see how things were, how things went for you.
Correct, correct. No problem at all, man.
Good stuff, man.
All right, cool, bro. Basody.
Okay, so this evening we're here with Chef Anne-Marie Leach.
Hey, guys.
hey, welcome to the podcast.
hey.
So, yeah, we just wanted to jump right into it and tell us about your background as a chef.
Well, I actually started as a pastry chef, funny enough.
Ooh.
Yep. Went to a French culinary school, so lots of meat, lots of
well, animal products. Right. So, y'all can't see my eyebrow raise. I'm like, French culinary school?
But I think that, if I'm being honest, I always had like... I was always being drawn towards like healthy food,
mm-hmm.
And then vegetarian food, and then mm-hmm. it became vegan food.
Mm-hmm.
I just always had a love for it. So like, I remember being in a pastry shop, I'm now starting out, and wanting to use beet to dye my strawberry ice cream because dyes aren't healthy.
Right.
So, I realized I just always have to follow mm-hmm. that voice inside.
Right.
To follow your dreams.
That's, there we go.
There we go.
That's a nice little song, but yeah, I'll keep that.
No problem.
So tell us how you got involved in the Barbados Food and Rum Festival.
Well, you know my hubby. Everybody knows Damien.
Yes.
Big up hubby.
Big up.
Yeah, and I'm always there supporting him at every event. And I was asked to be an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a light bulb went off. And they're like, well, there are no vegan chefs here. There's no vegan options.
Yeah,
and
that's
then I got a call the next day. Would you be a vegan chef at Barbados Food and Rum Festival? And I was honored. I am honored. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, as you say, there have been none before. So people have asked us. So we've always wondered too as well.
Yeah, and it's just great to have options. You don't have to be vegan to have... love vegan food and to have an option for it.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's very, very important. It's the way the green movement has been busy overseas big time.
It's big. So. It's big away. Majority of my clients are from away, mm-hmm. coming down to the island looking for some options. And I'm just happy to be sharing that with my people.
Yeah, exactly. I went to London in 2019. Everything was green there. It's green, gluten-free, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I always say something about not eating meat is necessarily. That's a personal choice. It's mm-hmm. about including more plant-based options
there
in your diet.
That's it.
You know, there's enough evidence out there. It's not just meat.
Exactly.
It's a better lifestyle to adopt. So. Yeah.
So, and me, it's been traditional in our culture anyway. People have done like vegan stuff without it being labeled explicitly.
Oh, of course.
I'm
not the first one. I'm not creating
So you're not, revolutionary or anything. It's like something has been done all the time. It just had never explicitly been labeled as vegan. It's like this Eitel and stuff like that people have done.
I think
for
when
years
I started, people started thinking like, oh, you're going to eat my husband's bush. You're eating bush.
Yeah, that's a common misconception. You're just going to eat plants and bush and grass and that type of thing.
That's not true. There's a lot more than bush that
you could do tasty food as vegan.
Of course, for sure. I mean, for the festival, one of the events I'm doing roasted breadfruit, mm-hmm. which is my husband's favorite.
Yeah.
But with vegan saltfish.
Yeah, but that was my next question. I was going to ask, what could people expect from you at the festival?
A lot of fresh flavors.
Yes.
A lot of local and Caribbean flavors. Mm-hmm. I think anything that would be signature for me is fresh. Mm-hmm. I like freshness. So like even if I'm doing a chutney, it's going to be a coconut and cilantro. That's mm-hmm. going with my vegan roti. Mm-hmm. It's fresh flavors, but yeah. lots of flavor.
Yeah, lots and lots of flavor.
Yeah, lots and lots of flavor. You can find that for sure in anything like that. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's, I think that's what people are looking forward to as well.
Yeah, of course, freshness. I mean, it's hot, man.
Yeah, it's hot.
You want something fresh, you know? Mm. I always try to include that fresh element in anything that I do. Mm. Lot of lemon, lime, grapefruit. Mm-hmm. We don't use enough grapefruit on the island.
For the place that started grapefruit at first grew it. So yeah, you. It's
exactly,
crazy. Yeah.
Exactly. I think you just call it shout out.
Yeah, you should shout out. Yeah.
And that's what I knew growing up. You know, yeah. it's not the pink grapefruit you would see.
Right.
But that's what we grew up on.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to use those things, but we have a lot in Barbados that we can use. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of showing our people that we have these things. We have just as much as anybody else. We just need to tap into them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
I like that. I really, really love that. Because it's just fresh, it's new, it's good, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That's what people are looking forward to as well. Not boring stale flavors. And what I'm getting from you too as well is kind of like some of these slow seven movement that you want farm to table. You want stuff that's grown here and local.
Yes, as local as possible mm-hmm. is what I tried. I mean, honestly, like I think when I told him I was doing roasted breadfruit, he was like, no, it's not a lot, but you a lot of breadfruit. He's like, that's good, girl, but that's a lot. That's ambitious. That's a lot of breadfruit. Yeah. But I think when I pass the vendors on the highways and stuff like that, they're the ones that need our business.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's enough business to go wrong. We just have to be intentional with who we are putting our money in whose pockets, you know? Really, we support everyone, but just think a little longer about who you're trying to support and who may need it a bit more.
Yeah.
That's the focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay, I was trying to remember the next question. I think the next question is, right? Hilarious. What's your favorite Barbadian cuisine?
Oh my gosh. Now, listen to me. I have never been a fan of meat. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my mother put beef stew and macaroni pie on my plate and I would push away the beef stew. And I would eat my macaroni pie. I'm a carb girl. Mm-hmm. I'm a carb girl. So anything carb, breadfruit cuckoo, mm-hmm. macaroni pie, rice and peas, gravy, no meat, just sauce, mm-hmm. Cream potato.
Yeah.
Cuckoo. Yeah. Anything carb?
Yeah,
that's me. There. Yeah, that's me. I just want sauce. I don't want any carbs, and that's about it. So
that's cool. Yeah. You're right. Exactly. And I'm glad that you said that because I know we're very people see us as a very meat heavy culture.
Yeah, but that's why I always say I think everybody has it within them. They know a lot of us maybe ignore.
Right.
Call it whatever you want, intuition, whatever. But I've always been like, okay, well, why do I feel this way? I've never been drawn to meat. And it's so funny because I would always be like baking cakes when I was younger in my grandma's kitchen. And like, you know, you start baking as a young baker and you realize, oh, shoe ain't got eggs.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That always happened to me. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, and I'd be like, okay, let me take an apple and mash it. And let me see if it creates the steam when it puts in the oven to help the cakes to rise. And that's what I use that.
Brilliant. That would have never crossed my mind.
I think the only thing I can say that I am is that I really listen to my heart. Mm-hmm. I really try to follow my heart. And I feel it's always led me
where that's what I'm about to say. My heart never whispered after me. My heart is telling me whisper, going like, no, you know, I'm going to look through the window. Smash apple for the steam.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and I think it was all to lead me to this. That's my point. You know, it was all to lead me to this. If I was really being honest, I think I won the Prime Minister Award, NIFCA 2007.
What? That's good.
I may be wrong with the year, but I did a green banana loaf. Yeah, come on. Who does this? And I look at your recipes to get inspired. And I was like, oh, I see a meatloaf. Let me make it vegetarian. Why is that? I was always going towards that.
Yeah.
And I think that when you get those signs, well, I take them as signs. You go towards it.
Wow, that's brilliant. I think.
Thank you.
Green banana loaf. That's the way forward, really.
I wouldn't say it was the most appetizing, if I'm being honest. But I definitely was the most creative.
It is.
It was like, you know, and when I won, everybody was like, what? Including me.
Yeah.
I was like, but it was just like, you're using something local and you made something completely different. And I think, That's the way it should go.
And that to me, that's cuisine, that's food. It's like you should always be experimenting and finding new things.
Barbados always helped me.
Yeah.
I use that money to go to school in Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, Barbados has always been there for me. So if I can get back to Barbados anyway, that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm so happy to be a part of this.
Right.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I love your inclusion. I love your energy. Thank you. Your drive, your vision, everything like that. And then to be able to see what you bring to as well to the festival, I think that would be really, really unique. And again, the green, the vegan movement, the food that you're doing then is adds an additional dimension to the festival that is was sorely missing.
People know that we got it all in Barbados. Yeah. We're offering all, we, you know, we offered it all. We include everybody. Mm-hmm. That's what we are about.
Cool. So what do you see as your future as a young Barbadian chef? Where is that you want to go?
Well, I just started. I had my first wellness retreat about 2 weeks ago in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And myself and my partner are planning to have a lot more. Mm-hmm. And the other one is in me in January. And Barbados is known for a lot, but I don't think we're known as a wellness destination.
True.
But that starts here.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the map. We have everything, everything that anybody else has. Just need to tap into it. Mm-hmm. A little belief in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're going to be good.
We should be good. Yeah.
So that's what we're, that's what I'm planning to do. I think we have so much to offer. You know, I do bay leaf tea whenever I have a retreat down here. And everyone's like, oh my, listen, bay leaf tea was normal in my house. But people come down and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah, but it helps insomnia.
Yeah.
So I give it to them before bedtime. Ah. And all the, you know, tourists are like, oh my God, it's amazing. We have these things here that we're just not tapping into.
Yeah.
It's about sharing that with the world. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to have wellness retreats in Barbados, bring people to us. And that's what I'm working on.
That's good. No, you're very right, because you're saying that. And I have a friend from Barbados who went to the UK, and then it's like, he doesn't have bay leaf tea anymore. He's like, oh my gosh, I took it for granted for so long.
You took it for granted because we have it, you know, but it's not like, I think it's an old time mentality where everything on the outside is better.
Right, yeah.
Slowly we're seeing the change, people realizing what they have, but it's just not to tap into it, use it, and share it.
Share it, showcase it, appreciate
it. Exactly. Yeah, we're good for rum. We're good for partying. We're good for a lot of things. But the wellness aspect, I don't think we've really tapped into it as much, so. Trying to do that.
That's brilliant. I think that you on your own vein, you know, you're following your heart, you know what it is that you want to get into. That's brilliant. So where can people find you physically and online as well?
Well, physically, I'm at my house. Don't come visit me. Don't visit me.
I like that answer.
But I have a mailing list where I do a meal prep service three times a week. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get on that list, you just email me at aleach.yummymummies@gmail.com.
Yeah, Yummy Mummies, the other host talked about you. She was like, you getting Chef Leach? Yummy
Mummies?
That's
sweet. Yeah. Yeah, you just send me an email and I'll add you to my list.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's the retreats that I'm hosting and just bopping around, keeping busy.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Yeah, I like that. You know, you make your way around, you do things.
Yeah, I never get upset if something falls off. It's like, it's not, it wasn't meant to be.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, whatever meant to be.
Exactly. No, thank you so much, Chef Leach.
Oh my gosh,
this
has been so much fun.
I know, right?
This has been so much fun. I saw you in my DM. Yeah. And I said, wait, who this?
Right? Like, okay. I was there, like, DMing all these people. I'm like, these people are going to think I'm a weirdo. Like,
no, but I was just like, okay, somebody wants to interview me. All right. Yeah. And I went off, I came back, and said, well, let me go. I think this will be fun. And it's been so fun. You didn't disappoint.
Yeah, it was great. It was brilliant. No, because when I was looking through chefs, and I'm like, I'm actually really looking for a vegetarian chef, a vegan chef.
Oh, thank you.
And somebody pointed me to you, and I'm like, brilliant. That's exactly who I want.
Amazing. I'm really happy I came. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming through, too.
Yeah, for sure. This has been the best podcast I've ever done. Right? The energy and the vibe.
Bouncing off each other.
Literally. Yeah. I feel like I'm
doing
all my life. It's been good.
Right, I know,
it's
right?
Natural.
Yeah, very, very natural. So it's been absolutely brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Welcome to Lures Up Podcast with Basil D Magazine.
Yes, so this evening we're here also with Chef Gibson, Chef Daniel Gibson from the Barbados Food and Rum Festival.
Hi, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So we just want to jump straight into it. So tell me about your background as a chef.
Okay, initially I would have started at the Hospitality Institute here in Barbados. And then from there, I actually went to Johnson & Wales University in North Miami. So I would have graduated magnum cum laude in my field.
Well, la-di-da.
Yes, please. And I have a bachelor's in culinary arts and food service management with a concentration in baking and pastry. So my actual degree is in food with the culinary art. But I just always had a love and a passion for pastry. And I just decided to pursue the pastry aspect so that I could be, you know, well-rounded as a chef. So I can do both.
Okay, so you could do both. Okay,
yes,
but you primarily are a pastry chef.
Yes,
okay,
please.
So how many pastry chefs are there in this year's festival?
So for this year's festival, there are actually two of us that are going to be featured at the Liquid Gold Feast on the 30th of October.
Okay, nice. And what should people expect from you at Liquid Gold?
Liquid Gold is going to be exciting, enticing. You should definitely head out there and get your tickets and support the festival and support local. For instance, for one of the desserts, it's going to be, you know, a rum and raisin bread pudding with a vanilla bean creme anglaise. We have a mango and sweet cream panna cotta going in there as well. There's going to be a chocolate station where we have a liquid salted caramel chocolate truffle that's going to be featured as well. We also have a vanilla bean gateau with passion fruit curd going in there. So a lot of local flavors, enticing like that, palate. Yeah. It's just going to be amazing, man.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, as you say, now you're ready to go, you want to go, you want to try it, you want to come back again and try it again.
Exactly. It's really going to be something. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. And what would you say is your signature? Well, since you're so skilled, what's your signature pastry and what's your signature dish?
Okay, perfect. So signature dish would have to be, I'm just going to say out of the box here. Mm-hmm. I make a really good shrimp Alfredo.
Ooh.
It sounds simple, but you can definitely mess up a shrimp Alfredo.
Trust me.
And then for pastry, I make a really mean panna cotta. I've been told the best. Mm-hmm. So for me, a panna cotta, you know, should be well balanced. It shouldn't be too gummy in texture. Mm-hmm. It should just melt on the palate. And that's exactly what you're going to get at Liquid Gold Feast. It's going to be awesome.
I know. Trust me. I'm looking forward. So as you say, I like the inclusion of a lot of local flavors. It's very, you know, like slow seven movement, everybody getting involved in like farm to table stuff and bringing as many local flavors on board as possible.
Exactly. So we have mango in there. Mm-hmm. We have passion fruit in there. We're going to be using plenty of alcohol. It's going to be awesome.
So tell me, how do you get involved in this year's festival?
I've actually been doing some work for the BTMI outside of the festival in terms of one of my specialties, which is actually making chocolates and chocolate bonbons and truffles and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when they had asked me to do the festival, I was super stoked. I was really excited about it. And I was like, this is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to, you know, put my best foot forward and just wow everybody. And it's going to be really good.
Oh, really, really good. I know. I'm looking forward to it a lot, really and truly. So tell me also, to what are you looking forward to on your journey as a young chef?
Honestly, as a young chef, I've always dreamt of, you know, I actually have a Michelin star training background. So I actually worked at 11 Madison Park, which is a 3 Michelin star restaurant in New York. So for me, I've always tried to aspire that one day I would be able to get my own Michelin star as a chef. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the pinnacle of my career. Yeah,
I like that. No, look at, there's so many of y'all who have all these backgrounds who are so interesting, who've trained in these really exotic, exquisite places. Like y'all are no slouches, you know, you do the work.
We've definitely put in the time. I've also traveled to Germany to work under a Michelin star chef as well. And then I was in a little town called Salak, which is right outside of Stuttgart. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to register at the town and everything. And they were like, oh, my goodness, like, you're the first Barbadian to ever be here. I was so ecstatic. Wow. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. And little did I know, you know, back then, all of this was helping to shape me and develop me as a young professional to be able to, you know, be here for the Food and Rum Festival. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about that.
I love that. I love that. So, and then tell me your favorite Barbadian dish.
Oh, wow. Honestly, I'm going to go with grape cake. I love a really, believe really in good, cake, moist grape cake. I would eat grape cake year round. Not just wait for Christmas, sound just like year her. Round.
Believe in a grape cake. Okay, so where can people find you physically as well as online?
So I'm actually the pastry chef at Hilton Barbados right now. Yes, please. And then you could also find me on Instagram at Chef Danielle Lee. So you can see all my work and my travel and stuff like that. So you can definitely go ahead and check it out.
A perfect way to stay connected with you.
Exactly.
Okay, brilliant. So, well, thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Yes, it's been great to hear your background. I look forward to seeing you at Liquid Gold.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Buzzity. Okay, so this evening we're here with Chef Applewhite from Barbados Food and Rum Festival.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for joining us, Chef.
Pleasure.
So, yeah, we want to just jump right into it. Can you tell me about your background as a chef?
Well, I always had a love for food and eating food, really, because I couldn't cook it. Mm-hmm. on leaving secondary school, I decided I wanted to be a chef, but I didn't know the how to. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time around the kitchen just watching my mother cook, and I would know in theory how to do it, but not the action.
Mm-hmm.
So on going into Palmarine, I was actually the only person in my class that couldn't cook, really.
Yeah.
And I just tried to learn as much as I could. I sought up as much as I could. Through working, through being around good chefs, and I just put my best foot forward all the time and always had the passion, so it was easy.
Yeah, that's good. You really need the passion to keep moving forward through this industry.
Yeah, true.
So tell me about how then you got involved with Barbados Food and Rum Festival 2022.
I mean, I guess probably just through hard work over the years. Mm-hmm. Been on the scene for quite some time, you know, would have been on the culinary team. Mm-hmm. I think first time 2014 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was on the culinary team again in late 2016. Barbados is very small, and the culinary field in Barbados is not the biggest. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of chefs, but everyone knows each other, lack of better words. So I guess through doing good food, hard work, mm-hmm. being on the scene, mm-hmm. Putting my best foot forward every time I got a chance to display my talent would have afforded that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So just thankful for all the opportunities that come and looking forward to many more as well.
True, true, true. So what should people look forward from you at this year's festival?
Good food for sure.
Mm, of course.
Fresh food. I like to cook with fresh ingredients always. So using a lot of ingredients that I can get from local farmers, using the freshest fish. I have a cuckoo, a ground provision cuckoo and market fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Barbados Food Festival, so I thought it was right to do a spin on the national dish.
Right, okay,
The ground provision cuckoo is going to contain, like, you know, sweet potato, your yam, stuff like that, okras. The Creole market fish is going to have in some fresh barracuda.
Oh, I like that.
So that's going to be pretty nice. And recently, because I'm at Lacaban South now, we do a lot of wood fire cooking there. Mm-hmm. Very farm to table as well. And I wanted to pay some homage to that. So we'll be doing a smoked pork belly, a 6-hour smoked pork belly. It's going to go with an apple slaw
mm-hmm.
and a ginger and mango chutney glaze. So good food, good flavors, you know, local ingredients. And yeah, we plan to put on a show on the night. So looking forward.
That's good. And you part of the, I guess, like, influenced by the slow cyber movement in terms of like farm to table stuff and lots of local ingredients that you want
to use. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that every chef should be as farm to table as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you look at the more international chefs across the world and chefs that I personally look up mm-hmm. to, most of them make the most of the ingredients they have in their area. So I try to do the same. And Barbados has a lot of local farmers and local ingredients that are out of this world. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Even better than the ones you can find overseas in comparison.
Really,
so it's only fair to let that shine.
Exactly.
You know, like, we got to work with the farmers because the farmers will work with us, you know.
Exactly. So it's a hand-in-hand relationship. Like the whole slow food movement, because it makes sense,
sure.
You know.
For sure.
You go down the road, you get something from somebody you know, and you, like, that particular parcel of land might be really good in producing, let's say, thyme or sweet potato or anything like that. It will be a different flavor to what you get from overseas.
And I mean, if you know fresh food, you could taste the difference from the time you put it in your mouth. Like, is a world of difference.
It is, because, like, you go overseas and the food is, like, it's rushed. It feels like it's being rushed to mature. Mm. It's been frozen or stuff like that. But when you know it's fresh, you taste it, it's completely different.
Yeah, totally agree.
Completely different variety of flavor, everything like that.
Yeah.
So that's great stuff. So what would you say is your favorite Barbadian cuisine?
That's a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you, like, all right, probably rice and peas with a nice stew, lamb stew.
You're a traditionalist. And lamb is top tier, topest of tiers.
And then probably a nice potato salad or coleslaw on the side. Yeah, I think that would be the one.
Quintessentially Barbadian. Like that. So yeah, definitely. And what would you say is your signature dish?
Well, fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
No chef has a signature
that's,
dish.
That's what all of them are telling me, and all. Like, I mean, it's like, I hate this question.
it's like that cliche question that you always get.
That's what he said.
And then we try to think up like that dish that first comes to mind, or the last one that we did that we really enjoy doing. But I don't think that any chef has a signature dish. But I can say that a dish that I particularly like to cook is ceviche, because the ceviche that I do is using the flavors of pudding and sauce on the fish, and traditionally locals would shy away from ceviche.
Right, that like, I know. Me as a local, I would.
Like you try to serve a local ceviche, be like, "You gave me raw fish."
Right, is but that then what they say, man?
And they get that familiar flavor with the ceviche. I think that it makes the world a difference. So that's a dish that I like to do. To just to see the general response of the people, because you got people that love ceviche that never had it with those flavors, and then you got people that don't really like ceviche that would try it for the first time and be like, "Whoa, this is amazing!
This is completely different."
So
yeah
that, I would say we can call that the signature dish, but if you want, but yeah,
fair enough. And then on your journey as a young chef, what is it that you're looking forward to for the future?
Good question. In the future, I would say looking forward to seeing the Barbadian foodie society move forward. And let me explain what I mean when I say that. I mean, like, in the past couple of years, you've been seeing it a lot in terms of locals eating out more past just a birthday celebration.
Right.
I would like to see a lot more of that. It's going to come hand in hand with chefs consistently doing good food and bringing good offerings and exciting projects for people to enjoy. But I'm really looking forward to a shift in the culture where there's that real appreciation for good food and good cuisine like you get other places in the world. I know a lot of people on Sundays now finding themselves at restaurants, man, before they used to be cooking a little Sunday food and stuff. So I mean, like, I'm looking forward to a lot more of that. For me personally, I just always looking for progression and growth, always trying to learn, always trying to make the most of any opportunity that is in front of me. So sky's the limit. So yeah.
That's cool. That makes sense. And so where can people find you? Like, if they want to find you personally, and then where can they find you online?
Well, day to day, I'm at Lacaban South, which is down at the Hilton Beach. Nice spot. They recently opened.
Right, yeah.
Farm to table, like we mentioned so much during the interview. And very sustainable cooking. Like 80% wood fire cooking, which I think is a difference maker as compared to other restaurants in Barbados.
That's very true.
And that is where I'm at day to day. If you want to book a private experience, you can do that as well. Buy Tea Stout on Instagram if you want private experiences. That is a company that me and my business partner take good pride in. We pretty much cut the best food in Barbados for private experiences.
Is that it, bigger yourself?
And on Instagram, my Instagram is Marvin Applewhite. Easy. That is pretty much it.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chef Applewhite. I look forward to seeing you at the Barbados Food and Rum Festival. And look forward to seeing you at Lacaban South too as well. I've had great reviews from down there.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, man. So looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. Liquid Gold Feast.
Liquid Gold for sure.
Should be a good night for sure.
I feel so. All
right. So we started with mixologists and we're going all the way to food. So right next to me, he seems a little quiet and, into himself, but don't worry, get shaking him up. We have Nicholas Eiffel, chef for the Food and Rum Festival. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we can just hit it up. Tell me about food. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food, honestly, is just cooking Bajan cuisine. But Any Bajan cuisine, but just elevating it to a very high standard.
Okay. So give me Nicholas. Tell me how Nicholas got from being a mixologist now and take it all the way back. So when we chef. When we had Shane, he had an entire story completely different to being a mixologist. Do you have a completely different story? Where did you start it out? Did you always wanted to do food? Or, this just come by?
Well, honestly, it started from young in kitchen with my grandmother. I also had a very lazy cousin. He's like my big brother, He would wake up on mornings. He would just tell me, "Nick, want to scramble eggs. That's where it started from. I was tall enough
to scramble eggs?
Yeah.
Okay. My cousin.
So just go in the kitchen and start the scramble. I even got pictures of me from small in the kitchen making scramble eggs. Then from going to school, my grandmother would take me to school, bring me back home. Then she would be in the kitchen cooking. And it just started going on, help her cook. And I don't know, it just come into like a habit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got in secondary school. I was really focusing on being an architect.
Oh.
Yeah.
What school you go to? Where you went to?
Dighton Griffith.
Okay.
But nice. Then I ended up in food. I pushed again food and nutrition. And that is where the love really started from.
So you started at Dighton with the food?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After Dighton, I attempted to get in Pomeroy twice, but I am a sucker for English. I failed English 3 times.
Don't worry about that. At least you can speak it.
Failed English 3 times, and then I finally got into Pomeroy. Mm-hmm. I did my then associate's degree in culinary arts.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. As soon as I finished my associate's degree, I was then called to work at Hilton because I went there for my internship, and then they just called me back, meaning they wanted staff and stuff. And that's pretty much where it started from.
Mm.
That was 2015. Yeah, 2015. And then I competed to go on the culinary team in 2015 for the team for 2016. And I actually won the Junior Chef of the Year competition there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we got winners in here then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. So what was that experience like? Winning and preparing the food and everything?
At one point, I wanted to quit.
Really?
Preparing for the, yeah. My chef, Andre Nurse, he was just trying. And every time he come up with something, he just tell me, Nick, nah, you gotta do better. And it was just getting frustrating. The competition was like 3 weeks away.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I can just don't do it and do it again next year. You tell me no.
So I hear you thinking, something. Right? Not to cut you, but
yeah.
I love food. How could you mess up food? Like anything that tastes good to me, like what are the components of good food? Like how does it taste, the texture? Like what are we looking for when we think about good food?
I wouldn't say it wasn't good, but for the, you're going up a whole set of chefs in Barbados, mm-hmm. you got to come with something different. You can't just do sweet potatoes and fish,
mm-hmm.
but you got to elevate your style of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the dishes I recently did was sweet potato and herring with drunken oxtail.
Ooh, I never think about that combination.
Right. So it's just like thinking outside the box, but it's still very local and simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So this Food and Rum Festival is basically talking about moving from the African culture and bringing it all the way back to Barbados, or moving from Barbados and taking it all the way back to our heritage. So what foods would you use to show that?
Well, we have our own Saturday staple that we enjoy.
Putting the toast?
Yeah. And that is pretty much a play on what I am doing for one of my dishes.
I like that.
Yeah. And then my second dish would be pretty much local food, but with a twist. It's smoked brisket, and it's going with stew peas, a corn and mango salsa, roasted garlic, aioli.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that is one of the dishes like.
I mean, you're saying that's so simple, right? But yeah, that just sounds complex. And like, my taste was like going fireworks going off.
I guarantee it will look complex. It's not going to look simple.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my way of thinking for it.
Awesome. So what is your preparation for the Food and Rum Festival? And how do you prepare mentally for it? And then how do you choose the foods that you're going to go with and say, yeah, I'm sticking to this. This is what we can do. And it can come off the plate really well.
Well, one hiccup I had a list of like 3 dishes. Then when I actually found out which event I'm doing and the type of event it is, I had to tell about like nobody don't really want their mouth stink about this time of the night.
It's like garlic and stuff like that.
So I had to pull back one of my dishes from doing that. So it's just studying the type of people you're feeding,
mm-hmm.
what time of the day it is, mm-hmm. and who you're catering for.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, preparing for it mentally, I was on a lot of coffee, but I switched to a pretty decent vitamin last week.
Okay.
So that seems to be working all right.
Okay.
Then it's just a matter of getting all of your organizing in check.
Mm-hmm.
For like me, like all of my equipment and things I need, I already got. Like all of my vehicle is packed with my bin, just ready to pull it out for the event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't asked any of the other mixologists and chefs this question, but being, because you're in a creative arts, this is culinary creativity. And usually as a creative, we easily compare ourselves with everybody around us. And this is on the world stage right now, and you're seeing other chefs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay focused, not comparing yourself with the other chefs?
Honestly, when I was younger, I would compare myself, but as I get older, because this is almost 10 years now in this thing, I think you get to find out that everybody has their own, the world is big enough for everybody to got their own self.
Mm-hmm.
So just do what is true to yourself.
And what's or your what style? You
like. Like, I personally, I like Bajan food,
mm-hmm.
but I would just take it, I say this all the time, I would just take Bajan food to another level.
Okay.
But I can also do like the French cuisine and all of that. Mm.
I love it. I love it. And you told me before we went on air that you were doing the Liquid Gold event, which is the 30th of October. What can we expect from you, and how we can holler at you? Like, what you what you want us to come to you with? All right, what are you coming to us with?
Huh. Well, just know that the little quiet boy is not going to be quiet at the Liquid Gold event. And then also, the one dish I have to, well, both of my dishes will stand up, but the effect of that grill and the, because it's going to have dry ice in it.
Wow.
And I have smoke coming out and everything.
Okay, nice.
That I know that would be a showstopper for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sauce, I call it sauce on Saturdays, turn up.
S-O-S, turn up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a whole bar lane.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a, I didn't mention it, but you're going to have a Banks beer pepper sauce to go along with it in a pipette.
A Banks beer pepper sauce. I cannot imagine that. Explain that to me. Like, how are you going to do that?
That's my secret.
Oh, it's a secret. I love that. Banks beer pepper sauce. Okay, well, this was actually really good. I'm wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Before we go, do you have any dreams and aspirations for the future outside of food and rum? What do you want to aspire to next year, achieve next year for your culinary art?
Well, this is something we're working on for a while. I would just like to go outside and get a wider scope of what is really happening on the around the world, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And also get to work overseas alongside some chef, rub some shoulders with some either Michelin star chefs or highly recognized chefs, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's great. I wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations, and we will see you on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay. Basody.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.